other writers didn't record. Notice on this paper, and I tried to figure out how to write this all down. You remember John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world"? That's not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. That's in John. How about Jesus' interview at night with Nicodemus? "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the king." You don't find the term "born again" anywhere in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. John is telling a story different from the others. It's not a contradictory story, but he's filling in the blanks that the other disciples did not write about. The woman at the well, that Samaritan woman that Jesus sent back into town, and she went to tell and said, "Come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" The woman taken adultery, John chapter 8. "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." Where Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the same stories, there's very few things that are just in Matthew, just in Mark, or just in Luke. They're basically giving the same event from different perspectives. John is avoiding those. Now, he does cover some of them, like the feeding of the 5,000. But for the most part, for the majority of things, he's telling us things that were not in the others. The seven I ams. You familiar with the seven I ams of Christ in the Gospel of John? "I am the bread of life," Jesus said. "I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life," he told Martha. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am," I can't read my own writing there, "I am the true vine." These seven things where Jesus said, "I am, I am, I am, I am," are not in Matthew, not in Mark, not in Luke. Not saying John's better than those, but he's different from those. He's presenting different information. So after you read Matthew to the Jew, and Mark to the Roman servant, and Luke to the Greek, the educated mind, and then you get to the Gospel of John, realize what I'm going to read now was not covered in those other three Gospels. He's filling in the blanks. He's giving me information that were not in the others. The story of Lazarus, Martha and Mary, is particular to John. The washing of the feet in Matthew chapter 13, one of my favorite stories with Peter. "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." Preached about that last Sunday. Peter telling the Lord what he's going to do and not going to do. "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Lord, not just my feet, my head, all of me." That's only recorded in the Gospel of John. The promise of the Comforter, John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, is not mentioned by Matthew, Mark, or Luke. The vine, as we mentioned already, "Ye are the vine, I am the vine, and ye are the branches." His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, I was going to put down the Lord's Prayer, but so many get that confused and think that prayer that some people repeat is the Lord's Prayer. That's not. John 17 is the Lord praying. We call it his high priestly prayer. Joseph and Nicodemus begging the body from Pilate to take it down and put it in Joseph's new tomb. Doubting Thomas in John chapter 20, "Except I see the print and except I put my hand in the in his side, I'll not believe." And then the last chapter with Peter saying, "I go a fishing." The other disciples saying, "We're going with you." And then the Lord restoring Peter to fellowship at the end of it. All of these things are in the Gospel of John, not Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When you look at that, that tells you that John is packed with information you wouldn't have if it wasn't for his Gospel. Something else I wrote down that I didn't put down there. John records 8 miracles, beginning with turning water into wine in John chapter 2. And the last miracle, the big catch of fish in John chapter 21, when they cast out on the right side of the boat and draw 153 fishes. There are 8 miracles recorded in John, and 6 of them are only in John. They're not in the other Gospels at all. So John is giving us information that's not in the other Gospels. All right, we come down to our next paragraph here. The Gospel of John presents Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Remember, Matthew was presenting him as king. Mark was as servant. Luke was as the Son of Man, emphasizing his humanity. John is presenting him as the Son of God, emphasizing his deity. Emphasizing his deity. He does talk about his humanity. Jesus was weary. Jesus was thirsty. Jesus wept. John records these different things, but his emphasis is on Jesus as the Son of God. Because his emphasis is on deity, the Gospel of John declares his eternal being. John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Gospel of John starts out with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." No genealogy is necessary in John's presentation as the Son of God, because there is no genealogy for the Son of God. He's always been. There is no beginning. Notice, I kind of like this in John chapter 1 when you think about it. In verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." When was that? He said, well, it was in the beginning. When was that? 40 million years ago? 40 trillion years ago? 40 gazillion? I don't know the numbers anyway. You know what? Verse number 1 is so far back in eternity, we can't even figure it out. But notice verse 3. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made." He just came from eternity to 6,000 years ago right there. He just covered a big expanse of time and went from the beginning, back before there was anything, just God, to creation in verse number 3, then verse number 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That's the incarnation. Now he's come 4,000 years closer to 2,000. The time span in the Gospel of John chapter 1 goes from eternity to the time of the arrival of Christ. So he's reading about his deity. No genealogy is necessary or could even really do anything. The Gospel of John is written to all, both Jew and Gentile. Again, Matthew, Jew; Mark, Roman; Luke, Greek; John, everybody. The Gospel of John is for everybody. Now again, it doesn't mean you don't read Matthew, Mark, and Luke because they're to somebody else. We still glean from that. But John was written with everybody in mind, both Jew and Gentile. Therefore, John explains, and this is how we know that John explains Hebrew words so his Gentile audience will understand them. You remember Mark would talk about a Jewish feast and then explain it because the Roman servant didn't know about the Jewish feast. Matthew didn't explain it because he was writing to Jews. All right, John is writing to both Jew and Gentile, but there's some terminology that's strictly Jewish in it, so he explains it. We're not going to go through this whole list, but look at John chapter 1 and verse 38. "Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," notice the parenthesis, "which is to say," being interpreted, "master." Well, the Jews didn't need that interpreted. They know what it means. But the Gentiles didn't. So John is opening up his gospel to both Jew and Gentile. Down in verse number 41, I believe, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. All right? He brought it down where we can understand. Messiah, to the Gentile, that means nothing. So he says, all right, that means the Christ. Verse 42. He brought him to Jesus. When Jesus held him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas." Well, what does Cephas mean? Well, it tells us, which is by interpretation, a stone. John interpreted Hebrew words for his Gentile audience so they could understand it. Again, that's particular to John. The others did not do that. So John's audience and him, his explanation, and the other verses are listed there. Chapter 5, verse 2, 9, 7, 19, 13, and 17, and chapter 20, verse 16. John does the same thing in every one of these verses, gives the meaning of the Hebrew word so his Gentile audience can understand it. So it's written to the Jew and written to the Gentile. The purpose for the Gospel of John is evangelistic. The purpose for the Gospel of John is evangelistic. It is to reach the world. It is to tell everybody. Isn't it interesting that to mass produce material for a foreign country, a mission field, getting a whole Bible into their language is difficult, getting it all printed and bound and all that. So what do we do? We give them John and Romans. We hand out John and Romans. Why? Those are the two best evangelistic books you could find. Romans, all has sinned and come short of the glory of God, the plan of salvation, and the Gospel of John that explains the plan of salvation. The Gospel, the purpose of the Gospel of John is evangelistic. The key verses are written here now. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. This is what John says. But these are written that you might believe. All right, the purpose of the book is very clear right there. Why did John write what he wrote? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The purpose of the Gospel of John is to get people to believe. Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Woman at the well, I am the promised one. I'm the one. Martha and Mary, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the bread of life. It's all given that we might believe. In fact, the word believe, our next sentence here on our notes, the word believe in some form, believed, believed, believest, believeth, all right, there's many different forms in our Bible. But the word believe is used in Matthew 11 times. Not a big topic for him. Mark, 16 times. Luke, 11 times. John, and we left this blank, how many do you think it's going to be? All right, Matthew used it 11 times. Mark used it 16. Luke used it 11. John, and I did this research myself. Somebody else said it, but I counted it too to make sure it was right. John used the word believe, believeth, believest, whatever it is, 101 times. You see the emphasis he's putting on it? He's writing that you might believe. Some other words that are notable in the Gospel of John, and these all come again down to this same topic. Other words that are notable in the Gospel of John is the word Father with the capital F, talking about the Lord, talking about God the Father, 122 times. I think it's used once in the Old Testament, if I remember, a couple of times in Matthew, and then the rest of it's all in John. Because he's trying to show that the Father sent the Son. The word world is used 80 times. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Again, I hate to be repetitive, but I think it proves our point. Matthew's writing to the Jew. The Jew doesn't want to hear about a gospel that's for the Gentile. Mark is writing to that Roman. Luke is writing to that Greek. But John's writing to the whole world. And so he uses that term. The scholars, and again, some of the information I get, I just kind of let go in one eye and out the other. I can't say in one ear and out the other because I'm not listening, I'm reading. But they said that John's vocabulary was the vocabulary of 600 words, like a seventh grader. Now, how they know that, I don't know, and that's why I don't put that down on paper and get into that. But they said his vocabulary was that of a seventh grader, a 600 word, whereas Luke's was a more educated vocabulary, as we talked about. Mark's was not an educated. John is a fisherman, unlearned and ignorant man. And so his gospel is limited, but he talked about the world 80 times. The word know, that we know, that we know, that we know, is there 71 times. Now, I put these words because they're there much more than Matthew used them or Mark used them or Luke used them. The word love, of course, John was the apostle of love. And again, the word, not just the word love, but loveth. Lovest, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? That word is used in John's gospel 54 times. The word life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In him is life. 44 times. Truth, 27 times. The word light. We read about that in John chapter 1. 23 times. And then this phrase at the bottom there, verily, verily. I like that one. No other gospel writer uses that. No other Bible writer uses that. We wouldn't know that Jesus ever said, verily, verily, if it wasn't for John. Now, I don't think that means Matthew didn't hear it. He just didn't write it down. So John reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or knowing about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, said, hey, there's some other things that you need to know about the Lord. And that is that he said, verily, verily. He said, what does that mean? It's like saying, amen, amen. So be it. When Jesus said, verily, verily, he says, I'm telling you the truth. And he used that phrase 25 times. John's the only one to use that phrase. All right, let's look then at an overview of the Gospel of John. Again, a very simple breakdown of the chapters. Number one, chapters 1 and 2 talk about the incarnation. Again, the incarnation is that God became man. That's what the word incarnation means. And John 1:14 said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was God in a human body. John wanted his readers to know that. He emphasized his deity. So the incarnation and the preparation of Jesus, the Son of God. Again, the emphasis, Jesus, the Son of God. That's chapter 1 and 2. Then secondly, the message and ministry of Jesus, the Son of God, chapters 3 through 12. That's where we read about all the events that John records. He doesn't record it like Matthew does, not as many. John only has one parable. Look at John chapter 10. All the other gospels are chock full of parables. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John uses the word parable one time in chapter 10. And I didn't write it down, so it's going to be a challenge. Somebody help me find the word parable in John chapter 10. Verse 6. Thank you. That's it. Verse 6. This parable, talking about what he'd already said. Verse 1, he that entereth not by the door, but he that entereth by the door is the shepherd, to him the porter openeth. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus. That parable is nothing like the parables that he told in the other Gospels. The Good Samaritan, parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the sower and the seed. All right, that's the only parable recorded in that short little place there. John said, I'm not going to repeat the other stuff. I'm going to give you something else. So the message and ministry of Jesus, the Son of God, is chapter 3 through 12. And then thirdly, the third division of the Gospel of John. Chapter 1 and 2 is just almost like an introduction before his life. And then chapters 13 to 21 are the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God. John gives us much more information on the resurrection than any of the other gospel writers do. He focuses on the resurrection because he wants us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he rose again, that he appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden, that he appeared to the disciples that first Sunday when Thomas wasn't with them, that he appeared to the disciples the next Sunday when Thomas was with them, that he appeared to them on the shore in John chapter 21 and sat with Peter at the fire. John emphasizes the death and resurrection of Jesus as the Son of God. So the Gospel of John was written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life through his name. So that concludes our study of the first four books. Next time we'll be in the book of Acts and we move on, because the Gospels are their own section. That is the part that's written. After John finishes John chapter 21, the life of Jesus Christ is over. We're going to read about his ascension in Acts chapter 1, verse number 11. But after that, he's gone from the face of the earth. His ministry is over. It's a different time period, a different dispensation. And I might remind you this, be careful getting your doctrine from a time that's not like our time right now. All right, Jesus is not here on earth. He's not doing miracles and teaching parables. He's not sitting on a mountain giving a discourse. So be careful of taking those things back there and making them doctrine for the church age. Now, there are definitely things within the Gospels that fit in to the church age, but don't take those things and jam them in there that don't belong. The Gospels are a very special section to convince those different target groups that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the richness of the Word of God. What an amazing